Welcome to the Vintage Church Podcast. Vintage Church is a movement of truth, love, and community. For more information, visit VintageChurchNola.com. Here is this week's message.
God's glory is being proclaimed through Vintage Church. And I had fully anticipated to get a little Bapticostal with you guys on that last song. But sitting there on the front row, after listening to Eric's testimony, I just want you to know how thankful I am to be a part of this God story here in New Orleans. And to come back and to see that you guys are all right. I never ever thought that this was on me. In fact, it hurts my feelings a little bit that you guys don't reach out more. It's perfectly fine. But to see how God's glory is advancing through Vintage Church, under the leadership of Pastor Dustin Turner, can we thank God for your lead pastor, Dustin Turner? He's definitely rearranged my office up there, and not sure if I like how the chairs are set up. Y'all know I got a chair problem, chair configuration problem. In fact, this area right here needs to turn a little bit closer towards me. It's kind of messing up the Holy Spirit's movement in this place for me. But I don't have anything to do with chair configurations anymore. And I just want you to know, thank you. Thank you for your love, for your support. Sorry I didn't bring the favorite part of the Wilton family for you guys, Annabeth and the kiddos, on this trip. We're going to be back in April, and we'll be here for about 4 or 5 days. So we'd love to hang out with you and get some time with you and just having a blast. Let's open up our Bibles to the book of Matthew. To the book of Matthew, we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 14. We're going to be looking at a story in verse 22 through 33. And in this story, we are going to find something that's so simple, but yet so important for every single one of our lives. And so if you don't have a Bible, lift up your hand. We'd love to get you a copy of the Word of God. If you don't own one, please take this home as a gift from our church to you. We believe there's nothing greater in all the world that you can do than to open up God's Word, read it, and apply it in your life. Let's look in the text together. In verse 22 of Matthew chapter 14, and we're looking at the theme of trust. Learn to trust. Live to trust. Scripture says, immediately, He, being Jesus, made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Just a little side note. When Jesus makes a promise, he delivers. That wasn't even in my notes. That's just extra. While he dismissed the crowds, I like that because I'm a weird introvert, and I ain't going to lie, I'm not too sad about missing Mardi Gras this year. Verse 23. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was long away from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. You want to underline the timing of this, because the timing of when Jesus comes to his disciples is so important. Because some of y'all right now are going to feel like you're in the middle of a storm. And I'm going to remind you that Jesus's timing in your life is perfect. Sometimes he leaves you in the storm. He doesn't always come right away in the first watch of the night. Sometimes he waits for the fourth. And so here in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. You don't see that everywhere, you know. Maybe you see it at Lake Pontchartrain. It's not that deep, but here's Jesus walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. You would be too. And they said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. Sissies. Verse 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart." Isn't this great? They are terrified. Jesus shows up. He doesn't say sissies. That's what I would say. He says what? "Take heart.
"It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you..." Now, really, I'm telling you, because we're going to go back to this. I'm about to break this down with some straight up alliteration today. We're going straight up vintage Rob today, okay? So we're doing alliteration because it's anointed. And so here it comes. And Peter answered, "Lord, if it is you, command me." Everybody needs to underline that. We're going to talk about this. "Command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. This is awesome. What a miracle. And he came to Jesus. But in verse 30, something happens. When he saw the wind, he was afraid. And he began to sink. Have we come today looking at the wind and the waves, or have we come today looking at the one who controls the wind and the waves? For Peter started to take his eyes off Jesus and instead looked at the wind and the waves. And he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." Verse 31, it says, Jesus immediately. How many of y'all are thankful for that? How many of y'all are thankful? Would you testify here that in moments where you've really cried out in desperation, as you've begun to sink, you've cried out to the Lord, and immediately the grace of Jesus has reached out to you? I know my life's a testimony of that. It says, Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of the Lord. When Dustin reached out to me, because he plans ahead, I really only do sermon prep the night before, but 3 weeks ago, I got this text. And he was like, "I want you to start praying about this, and we're going to focus in on trust." I'll be honest, man. Like, I'm telling you, I got really excited, because this is such an amazing passage, not just for me to preach to you, but for me to preach to myself. Because I'm in a season right now where my family and I have taken a leap of faith to trust the Lord into an unknown, crazy city where Old Navy clothes don't work, the city of Pittsburgh. My poor kids, when we brought them ice skating up there, they had little Old Navy gloves, and poor kids almost suffered frostbite that night. We learned Old Navy doesn't work up there. You got to have some better gear than that, right? And so, you know, like, I'm learning about Primanti Brothers, and I'm learning about the Steel City, and they claim to be black and gold, but it looks like black and yellow to me, I'll just be honest. But they're saying they're black and gold, and so I'm learning about all this stuff, and we've taken this leap of faith. And so for Pastor Dustin to give me this assignment today, I was honestly thankful. Because for me to go into this text and meditate over this text, I'm not preaching a whole lot week to week anymore, but I'm traveling. Y'all watch me online. I'm traveling probably too much, but I'm still preaching and stuff. But to really saturate myself in this text, getting ready to preach God's word, it's been a gift. Because God has spoken to me about the subject of trust. Do you know that in your life, everything happens for a reason? Do you know that? Do you believe that? Everything happens for a reason. When I was in college, we're getting close to March Madness here. Go Heels. And as we're getting ready for March Madness, I played college basketball about 30, 40 pounds ago. And our college basketball team, all 4 years of college, was terrible. Was absolutely terrible. Y'all pray for Mac and Burke right now. We went up to Nashville, and we're staying in Nashville till the summer, and then we're moving to Pittsburgh at the end of the summer. And I don't know if it's just Nashville kids are weak or whatever, but my boys are on a basketball team, and I'm just keeping it real. After the first practice, Mac and Burke came over, and they're like, "Daddy, these kids up here stink." And so they're straight dominating kids up in Nashville, a bunch of sissies in the suburbs. But I'm just letting you know, listen, I went and played college basketball, and listen, we stunk. We were terrible. I mean, my senior year in college, I led the team in points, assists, and I was the point guard, rebounds. All right, so we were terrible. We were absolutely terrible, and I always wondered, like, why in the Lord are you putting me through this torment of these terrible seasons? God was preparing me to plant a church. That's what he was doing. He was doing some things in my life, and I know if you would reflect back and you would think about all the things that have happened to bring you to this point in your life today, you would also say that everything in your life happens for a reason. When was the last time you recognized this truth? You want to maybe underline this or tweet this a little later. God has to bring you through something in order to bring you to something. God has to bring you through something in order to bring you to something. Do you know, in my life, I believe the Lord's told me in this season as I prepare to go and plant another church, another vintage church in the city of Pittsburgh, after being a part of this story for the last 10 years. I've been in New Orleans the last 13 years, but our story's a little over 9 years, 10 years here. As I've been preparing, the Lord is still working on my heart, and my prayer has been this: Lord, would you keep doing something in me before you do something through me? I'm praying right now for a personal spiritual renewal, revival, refreshment in the Lord, because I know I'm nothing for the city of Pittsburgh unless the Lord Jesus has done something in me. And so this is a story. Listen, this is not some random story. Jesus doesn't orchestrate this God story of a storm and him praying and walking on water and all this kind of stuff for chance. This is not like, oh, Jesus is up on the mountain saying, whoa, where'd that storm come from? We're going to learn really quickly, Jesus led them into the storm. And so when you start to really grasp this and you start to recognize that God has to bring you through something in order to bring you to something, you recognize here in this text, if y'all have been doing this, you've got to learn to trust before you live to trust. You see, Jesus in this moment not only saw the moment, but he saw his death, burial, and resurrection. He saw the spread of the gospel through the book of Acts. He saw Vintage Church proclaiming Jesus in the city of New Orleans and in the future city of Pittsburgh. You got to learn to trust before you live to trust. Don't fly through difficult seasons. Don't rush the process of sanctification in your life. Don't be so quick to be set free. Know that God is shaping and molding and forming you into something amazing to be used for God and his glory. The last 10 years, being honest, at Vintage, and this sounds crazy because I never planned this. I know that the last 10 years, being your pastor here in New Orleans, have prepped me for the next 10 years. In regards to Southern Baptists, and some of you are like, say what? Who are they? This church is a Southern Baptist church. I know that shocked some of you. I've been the typical Southern Baptist pastor, as y'all have known. I'm kind of Bapticostal personally. But in regards to Southern Baptist work, do you know that in the city of New Orleans, as it speaks right now, there's one Southern Baptist church here in the city of New Orleans for about every 5,000 people. Where I'm going to in Pittsburgh, there's one Southern Baptist church for almost every 70,000 people. There's some amazing movements of God in the city of Pittsburgh, but for the tribe that I'm serving, I'm actually a North American Mission Board missionary. Y'all always thought I was going to be a missionary one day, right? And so I'm actually a missionary right now working for them strategically. New Orleans is one of 32 strategic send cities. After the gathering, I'll be over at our banner over there. I'd love for you to be a part of receiving our newsletter so you can pray for us. And man, we're praying for God to move in such a way that He alone gets all glory and praise. And as we go this, I know that the last 10 years of my life, even though selfishly, I'm just telling you, I'm on the front row saying, dang it, God. Why couldn't you have left me here? You don't know how frustrating it is to get to the year where you actually open a building? We moved as a church 13 times in 8 years. I was begging the Lord for this moment. That's why I've got a chair configuration issue that I need counseling for. And we finally get to this place and God says, whoop. And I'm not here preaching at anybody today. I'm learning to trust so that I can live to trust. But I know that God has had to do something through me before He brings me to that thing. And I want you to know that in all your different worlds, He's doing the same for you. I mean, when I think about Eric's story, I'm just blown away by God's grace. He didn't mention it, but 5 years before Eric finally started to show up here, his brother kind of sent me to him. And then he threatened his brother, don't send that pastor to me. And to know the blessing that is now the Stevens family, such great friends in the gospel. Seeing them open up their home. We were part of the same V group. It's what it's all about. It's what every ounce of taking a step of faith is worth. Y'all know Big Kirk Fabre leads our men's ministry here. The night we had our ordination, Kirk comes up to me. He's like, all looking hard. Y'all know Kirk's like 6 foot, 15. 7,000 pounds. And Kirk comes up to me. He's like, Pastor Rob, I just want you to know I've been mad at you. It's like, okay, just don't hit me. It's been tough hearing that you're leaving and all this stuff. But man, as you preach today and as now I'm seeing this place packed out with an ordination of our future pastors and everything else, I just want you to know, listen, if it wasn't for you answering the call of God to bring a vintage church to the city of New Orleans, I don't know if I'd be married today. I don't know if I'd love Jesus today. And I just want you to know, I don't know if this means anything. I'm not going to let you stay here. If God's called you to Pittsburgh, you have to go, because I promise you there's someone who used to be like me in Pittsburgh that needs the gospel. But this life is not our own. This world is not our home. So let's do some alliteration real quick. Learn to trust Jesus. The first thing that I want us to do is to look at the intention of Jesus. The intention of Jesus. Jesus is intentional. Look right there in the text, verse 22. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. Now I'm going to give you a bunch of things that speak to Jesus and why we can trust Jesus. But the first thing I want you to know in regards to the intention of Jesus is that he leads. Remember when we walked through the book of Acts together? The book of Acts, the story of the book of Acts was not that Jesus came, lived, died, defeated sin, death, and hell. And then he rose from the grave. He appeared to his disciples and then said, knock yourselves out. No, he called them to do what? To wait, pray, and then go. He didn't tell them to go. That's, we mess up. We go and then nothing works out according to our plans. So now we're waiting because we've walked out in our plans. And then last resort, we get desperate, so finally we pray. I'll tell you what I'm most excited about today in this worship gathering is to pray with you. Last week I watched online the 11 o'clock, and the 11 o'clock had people poured down front here just praying. I've been more excited about these moments of prayer with you than even me preaching. We wait, we pray, and then when we receive a word from the Lord, we go. Here in this text, it says, immediately he made the disciples. He didn't say, what would you like to do today? No, it says, immediately he made the disciples get in the boat, go across to the other side. It says that he forced the crowds away. Well, that's mean, Jesus. Who cares? Jesus is like me. I have many panic attacks in crowds. I needed a break. So he forced the crowds away. And then what does Jesus do? He doesn't even get in the boat. He lets the disciples go into the storm, and he goes up onto the mountain to pray. I want you to know that Jesus is orchestrating all of this at this moment. He's the commander in chief. None of this is out of his control. The intention of Jesus. Nothing in your life is by chance. Jesus is intentional with you. Y'all know in the Psalms where it says he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. This is the supernatural work of God. And God is orchestrating your life. And sometimes, as we talked about when we went through our refuge series way back in the day, that there's forceful rest. Went up to Nashville. We had an ice storm, snowstorm up there. We don't have, you know, a bunch of snow gear yet, but we got boogie boards. So I decided week two, we're up in Nashville. I'm going to impress the kids. I'm going to go down this hill on a boogie board. The bottom of the hill, I T-boned a tree. I was fine, just had a little bit of a cut in the back of my back right here. And the next day, I'm having dinner at Pastor Robbie Gallaty's house, and Long Hollow's been so incredible. But immediately, as I'm chowing down on some Zoe's kitchen, my right leg goes numb. I said, AB, I think I'm having a heart attack because I can't feel my toes. And for the last month and a half, I've been going through physical therapy because, as the doctor described it, I clogged up the flow of the veins in my body. Sometimes God forces us to slow down, doesn't he? Sometimes God puts us in a place where we have no choice. Always recognize the intention of Jesus. Secondly, the intercession of Jesus. Write that down. The intercession of Jesus. It says, after he dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was long away from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. There's two things that I want you to know in regards to the intercession of Jesus. Number one, he prays. Number two, he knows. Isn't it amazing that God prays for us? Any of y'all thankful for God's prayers? That he intercedes for us, as it says in Romans 8, he intercedes for us with groans that cannot even be expressed. God prays for us. I think it's so important. We know the story in John chapter 17 is before the cross, Jesus is pleading with the Father and the Spirit, and he's praying for himself, and he's praying for us, that we would be one, that we would be protected, that we would be on mission. And so constantly throughout the ministry of Jesus, Jesus prays. Vintage Church, I met with Pastor Dustin, Pastor Brick, your pastors, and God's doing some amazing things here. But may I submit to you that where I believe Vintage Church needs to be is right where the Spirit of God started to lead this church last week, which is on our knees in prayer. Prayer is where the action is, John Wesley said. Guys, if I can just be honest with you, I'm speaking at this thing in Nashville, Church Plant Collective. And I went and attended it. And the pastor that got up to speak, he spoke about prayer. And he said, listen, I've got a bunch of pastors in the room. All of y'all have probably got your own secret formulas on how to pray, journals. You've taught on prayer. You've preached on prayer, all this kind of stuff. I want to keep it real. God has exposed to me the number one reason why I don't pray. And so may I submit this reason to you. It's because I don't need God. I don't wake up in the morning and pray immediately because I actually wake up in the morning thinking that I can accomplish what's on my plate that day. And may I submit to you, Vintage Church, you can't, but Jesus did. And because Jesus did, you can. And so we bow in prayer, and we bow in prayer saying things that secondly he knows, right? Nothing's out of God's understanding, and Jesus knows exactly where you are. And so you lay those things at the foot of the cross and you ask him to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Don't forget here in this moment that Jesus led them into the storm. So here's the disciples on the boat. They got to be tripping. Like, what in the world? Jesus sends us out here and then goes and has a little retreat on the mountaintop. Sure, he's enjoying a latte. Here we are struggling. We're struggling. And so here we are in this moment, and don't forget, Jesus knows. He knows. He knows. Don't chalk up everything to Satan. Jesus sometimes, as we learned in the book of Job over the years, allows blessing and he allows suffering for God's glory. He knows. But Jesus, as he knows, shows. The third thing, the intervention of Jesus. Some good I words, aren't they? The intention, the intercession, the intervention of Jesus. And so a number of things happen from verse 25 all the way to verse 32. Let me go ahead and put them up on the screen for you. He arrives, he reveals, he answers, and he saves. Now, Jesus arrives to the disciples who are in the storm, but you have to go to the book of John to find out. We hear in the book of Matthew that Jesus shows up on what watch? The fourth. So not the first watch, he shows up at the fourth watch. Do you know how it's described in the book of John? This is crazy. This is just straight crazy. I wouldn't have made it. It says that the disciples rode for 3 to 4 miles. Here they are rowing for 3 to 4 miles. Do you think at any moment Jesus is like maybe having a little bit of a giggle with the Father? I think a lot of times, you know, Jesus puts me in this position. Here I am, you know, I'm rowing. And at some level, it's kind of like my dad. Over the last 10 years, man, I would call him with some issues here at this church. And I'd be like, Dad, my dad's a pastor. Both of my grandfathers are pastors. Would you pray for my dad this week? He's leading Dr. Billy Graham's funeral, and he'll be preaching his funeral on Friday. So pray for him, an amazing gospel opportunity. But my dad's one of my heroes, and so I found out real quick. I knew nothing about what it means to be a pastor. How did I figure that out? I became a pastor. And so, like, I'd call my dad with a challenge. I'd be like, these crazy people. I mean, it's not y'all, it was the church in the past. I mean, but these crazy people, like, they're, you know, fighting each other and they're quitting on me and they're, you know, all this stuff. And honestly, like, there were moments when my dad just laughed at me on the phone. He never gave me a solution, but he always kind of wanted me to go through something because sometimes you got to learn to trust before you live the trust. Jesus let them row for 3 to 4 miles before he shows up, and he does arrive. Anyone thankful for Emmanuel, God with us? He arrives and he shows up, and then secondly, he reveals. And what does he reveal? As the disciples are rowing, you know, I've always told you, Peter's a heavy guy, so he's already passed out in the boat. Like, he's done. And so, like, man, they're rowing. Jesus shows up. They freak out. Ah, it's a ghost. And what does Jesus say? He reveals, he says, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. I've shared this with you before, but true peace is not found in the absence of problems. It's found in the presence of Jesus. And here Jesus shows up, and remember, the storm is not calm yet, but he shows up. And the storm's still not calm yet. The waves are going crazy. And there's something amazing, the faith of Peter in this moment. But the faith of Peter, do not make Peter the hero. For Peter knows he's not the hero. What does Peter say to Jesus as he wants to go out onto the water? He says this, command me and I'll come. Can I tell you? We have some amazing partnerships that are helping us plant a church in Pittsburgh. Pray for me as I've been fasting and praying this week, because we've got to make some big decisions in the city of Pittsburgh about our mission. Pastor Sean Engler and I are about to go there after the service today and be there for 3 days. And guys, there's a door open here and a door open here and a door open here and a door open here. I don't want what I want, because there's no power in what I want. I want what God wants. And so it might be a building, or it might be this other group, or it might be this opportunity. But what did Peter say? Peter says, I'm coming. No. Peter just comes to him. No. He says, I'm not taking a step, Jesus, until you command me to take a step. Because Peter was fully aware that he had no ability to walk on water. Command me to walk out, Jesus. So we see that he answers. Peter steps out. This is a big step, but it's not the only step. Some of y'all are on the verge of a big step. May I submit to you, what I fear for you is not this season where you're seeking the Lord. It's actually after you take the step of faith. It's a real risk, a real challenge for me, with all the support that we have, to get to Pittsburgh and to start looking at the wind and the waves instead of the one who controls the wind and the waves. So some of y'all are going to have the guts. That's a first step. Just take that first step, boom. But then you start walking like, oh yeah, I got this, God. You start strutting in the presence of God. And all of a sudden, boom, you sink. See, Peter here takes his eyes off the Lord. And he cries out to the Lord, save me. And so lastly there, he saves. Immediately, he saves Peter. And he says, you have little faith. I love reminding myself of texts like that, that God's not interested in necessarily us knowing everything. Does God still use Peter in a powerful way for God's glory? So even despite his lack of faith, anyone have a lack of faith at times? Raise your hand if you want to. So this is not about like, Peter's so awesome, he walked on water, he's a man. No, he's pathetic. He panics. Anybody pathetic? You panic. So I don't feel like I got to show up in Pittsburgh and be like, oh, I'm so awesome. May I sign your Bible? No. You know what makes me more nervous about this second church plant? More people are watching me. The first one, no one knew me. So y'all are sitting here going, wonder how it's going to go. Rob in Pittsburgh. Makes sense. I'm fully aware of how much grace played a role in the last 10 years here. I'm being invited to go and speak at church planting conferences, and they're like, tell us how to do it. And I'm like, I got a bunch of don'ts. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't do this. Don't do this. Well, what do you know, Rob? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I'm just listening to Jesus and doing what he says. And somehow he's helping this screwed up dude. Jesus saves. The last 2 points, the inspiration of Jesus. Notice that he saves not only Peter, but he ceases the wind. And it says, and those in the boat worshiped him. I think it's so amazing here. For as we've declared all these things about Jesus, may I declare to you probably what's most important for you to hear today. He is. He is. Well, I got this thing going on in my life. He is. Well, I'm not sure what's going to happen around here. He is. Well, are you sure he's going to be able to handle it? He is. Y'all remember our Big Easy Jesus series? We walked through the I am statements. I am the bread. I am the light. I am the door. I am the resurrection. I am the way. I am the vine. I can't wait to do a Steel City Jesus series. So I can't wait. What is Jesus declaring in these moments? He is, I am. I am everything you need. So here the disciples recognize Jesus. You might want to write this down. Little belief, little trust. Big belief, big trust. Why can I leave you who I love? I got a big belief in this big God. Why can you believe in this next season? Why can you believe as you're rowing 3 to 4 miles? Why can you believe even when God answers that prayer to keep being with you as you continue to walk in His grace? Big God. It brings us to this last point, the invitation of Jesus. Those in the boat worship Jesus, and they declared, "You are the Son of God." May I submit to you as we close right now? Listen to me. Everybody look at me. Do you know what the invitation is? Live to trust Jesus. Look, Jesus didn't take them through this moment of the storm and surviving the storm for them to spend all their time talking about the glory days of surviving the storm. And as I've shared with you, although it kind of hurts my feelings a little bit, I really don't care if 30 years from now I'm even known as part of this story here in New Orleans. There are no glory days. This is not about us. For God has brought you through something to bring you to something. And yes, in my flesh, I struggle with that because I want to be recognized. I want to be known. I want to participate. But at the end of the day, I only really want God and His glory. And God here brings the disciples through a blessing because He's preparing them for these moments that we read throughout the book of Acts, where these guys, empowered by the Holy Spirit, begin to plant the gospel. They plant disciples, and then the church begins to blossom in places like Corinth, Ephesus, Colossae. And the gospel begins to spread to the foreign country of New Orleans. See, we learn to trust in order that we would live to trust. If you go to this story in the book of John, what you find is, me and Dustin were talking about this, maybe there's a little bit of a rivalry between John and Peter, because John doesn't even mention that Peter walked on the water. Now, we could make John super spiritual and just say, you know, John didn't want to talk about Peter, so he just talks about Jesus walking on the water. He's all about Jesus. I always like to cause drama, so I think that there's a rift between John and Peter. He's like, I ain't mentioning that sucker. He's vain. And so John never mentions Peter. But he mentions that he walks on water. And then and you go in the book of John. I've preached this before. In John chapter 6, Jesus, right after they make it to the other side, goes up on the mountain and begins to teach about how he is. The specific I am statement is he preaches on, I am the bread of life. And he declares something in verse 35. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And then I've told you this story before. So disciples are kind of panicking. Peter was a simple dude. He thinks this is straight up cannibalism Jesus is talking about. I got to eat of his flesh, drink of his blood to have eternal life. And it says in the text that all these crowds that were all fired up about Jesus start to leave Jesus. And so as the crowds leave, okay, let me get off script here. Getting outside of the city, not only do I know now what it means to miss New Orleans, right? When we went out to dinner, we pre-gamed with, I ate 7 pounds of crawfish before dinner. I miss New Orleans. But may I submit to you, coming out of this city, there is something spiritually dark in this city. And I love that you love Mardi Gras, but don't love it too much. There is something that is swallowing up people's lives in this city. And it's straight from the pit of hell. Do not dance with the devil in this city. He's here. He's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere, but I believe he's got a condo in St. Charles. And so when we look at this text that many people leave Jesus, may I submit to you, you really go all in. You join a life group. You join a V group. You declare that Jesus is Lord of this city, nothing else. May I submit to you, the enemy's coming. And God's going to allow it. In some of your lives, you're going to be rowing for 3 to 4 miles. There's going to be attacks on your marriage, on your income, on your life. You're going to be down the dumps here. Do I love New Orleans? Yes, I believe it's the promised land. I honestly believe we go here before heaven. Nobody defends New Orleans more than me. Can't wait to fight people in Pittsburgh. But honestly, guys, y'all got to open your eyes to the spiritual depravity that's here. And so a great many people walk away. Don't be shocked when you stand up for Jesus and a great many people walk away. And as the people walk away, they get confronted by a question of Jesus. He says, "Will you go away as well?" Do you know what Peter responds with? He responds with something so profound. He says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." So here's the invitation, church. I invite you to live, to trust. And right now, with nothing around in terms of making this easier, dimming the lights, darker than what it already is, putting some music on, I invite you to take a step of faith and to come up here and join with me in prayer as we get ready. Come on. Learn to trust. Don't do it because somebody's doing it. You want to trust God. So today's not going to be just talk. A good sermon. Today's going to be walk. It's going to be life. Learn to trust. Live to trust. And I'm going to close out our time in prayer. For those of you who've responded, those of you who've stayed in your seats to pray there in your seats, whatever it is. I want you to know that God's invitation's here for those who need him. Will you give your life to Jesus? The first step of faith for you right now is to give your life to Jesus. He came, he lived, he died, he defeated sin, death, and hell. Receive him as Lord. For those of you who know Jesus, right now is a moment where you're saying, "I'm not just going to learn, I'm going to live." And I'm going to bow and I'm going to ask for God, your supernatural power to come into my marriage, to come into my work, to come into my neighborhood, to come into the city, to flood the streets of Pittsburgh, whatever it is. Lord, I pray that you alone would receive all glory and praise. So, as we get ready to respond, I want to invite those who've responded by coming down. You pray as long as you want. Let's pray to the Lord together. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you so much for your grace. Lord, that whether it's seasons where you've reached out to us and saved us from
drowning. Or even when it's been seasons where we've been rowing out on the sea and you've been up on a mountain praying for us. Because you know what's best for us. God, whatever it is that you want to do, our life is not our own. This world is not our home. And we bow in surrender to you as we today have learned how to trust. May we now live to trust. God, as a result, may you take what's happening here at Vintage Church New Orleans and would you multiply it throughout every street in this city? Would you multiply it to the ends of the earth? Would you multiply it to these 32 strategic cities that I'm rolling up my sleeves to go and bring your gospel in? Lord, would you do it all over the city of Pittsburgh? Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus, would you anoint your servants, me and Sean, as we fly to Pittsburgh today? And God, I pray that as we land in that city, you would bring someone to us that's searching for you, and that we would be bold enough to step out in faith and to share with them about the greatest message that is the message of Jesus Christ. Use us, Lord Jesus. Reveal yourself to us, Lord Jesus. We love you. It's in Jesus' name.